Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University Audio Presentation of the Month. This monthly CD and web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. If you are alive, you are being bombarded with information from multiple sources all day long. However, after oxygen, water, and food, information is the most important asset we can possess. The IT revolution was not about how fast, small, or flexible the technology was. It was about how much information it could provide. The key is to have the right information at your fingertips when it's needed. This presentation will cover how using information as an asset can increase a company's bottom line profit through creating an accessible company knowledge base. The presenter is Mark Blanchard. Mark worked as an IT consultant for a number of years before founding CKS Systems, an information management company. In 2010, Mark spearheaded project development of a new web-based information system called Common Knowledge Software. He also presents seminars on a variety of topics from HR hiring to sales and marketing. Today, Mark is going to share some of the research he developed in order to create his Common Knowledge Software. If you will begin to view information as an asset within your company, it will soon lead to a smoother running, more profitable company. Now, let's give Mark a listen.
Hello, my name is Mark Blanchard, CEO of CKS Systems, and I'd like to welcome you to Using Information as an Asset, how sharing your company's common knowledge can enhance employee performance, foster accountability, and drastically increase your profits. Information. After oxygen, water, and food, it is the most important resource we can possess, the value of which increases with the timeliness of when that information becomes available. It affects every part of our lives, from our health to our finances, from our business to our everyday interactions. Timely access to relevant information will directly impact the quality of our decisions. We already place a high value on information in our everyday lives. We pay our doctors to tell us about our overall health. We pay membership fees to belong to a professional group so we may share from one another's expertise. And of course, we pay teachers to pass it along to our children, all because access to timely information improves our quality of life, saves us time, saves us money, and in some cases, it can even save our lives. However, we have recently morphed from a society that had very little access to timely information to one that is now drowning in it. With the advent of automation and the internet, we are bombarded to a point where we discount 99% of what we see and hear since we are unable to process any more information effectively. Although a lot of useless junk forms part of that 99% of ignored info, there are some valuable contributions as well, ripe for the picking, but unfortunately not accessible given the amount of data we would have to sift through to find it. There's just not enough time for it all. There's just too much. So what do? We create knowledge. And how do we create knowledge? We process information. If information is a raw material, then knowledge is the finished product. We do it every day, absorbing what we see and hear, focusing on what applies to us, and then converting it into skills, expertise, experience, all added to our personal and increasingly plentiful knowledge base. We are walking knowledge hubs, each with their own specialty, and what we know plays a huge part in how valuable we are to society, and more importantly, how valuable we are in the workplace. But, if I may use a geeky analogy, we are a standalone society. We are not networked. We are billions of little standalone computers, each possessing a unique and vast knowledge base, which we are unable to benefit from as a whole. And we hire employees based on that premise, trying to find someone with a compatible skill set to fit the criteria of employment. And once that employee is hired, we rely on them, sometimes too much, since the knowledge acquired from this employee is usually never documented for others, never shared. So although a company may employ a variety of independent knowledge hubs, each with their own experience and expertise, we can only benefit from their direct interaction when they are available, during regular business hours. And when that employee leaves, so does the now improved knowledge base we work so hard to help develop. And then we start all over from scratch. However, Technology can not only provide information, it can now help process it, categorize it, refine it in a way that the final product is a concentration of knowledge relevant to those employees who need it most at a time suitable for the task. Technology has enabled knowledge to be a shared resource. However, in a world geared to having the latest and greatest technology, how much of it is truly needed to accomplish the realistic goal of improving your business by using information as an asset? Is there such a thing as too much technology? When I started working at my first job back in 1986, it was already around. Albeit basic in comparison to what we have today, it was still the beginning of widespread business automation. My computer was an IBM PC XT with 640 kilobytes of RAM. That's a few thousand times smaller than today's standard setup. My hard drive had 10 megabytes of total space, not even enough to contain the sound file you are now listening to. I had Windows 1.01, a big floppy drive, a printer that could wake up the dead, and a CGI screen that weighed more than a Prius. No networks, no wireless, no internet. And as insignificant as it may sound to you now, it was state-of-the-art back then. And the results it provided were indeed revolutionary. It made information accessible beyond a printed format. Most of us do not understand the impact of that milestone. It made information easily editable, could be modified at different times by several people, and could then be shared by anyone. It was indeed a revolution, and we called it information technology. Although it may seem ancient to some of you, 1986 was not that long ago. If you phoned me and I wasn't home, you'd actually have to wait until I came back to speak to me. My phone was attached to a wall. I had recently converted my Betamax to a VHS, and I had a great collection of tapes to play on my Sony Walkman. Now, my kids would not understand much of what I just said, and not because I'm particularly old. I'm 44. When my dad spoke to me about his childhood, there would be some differences, but nothing as compared to how foreign my technology is to my kids. In one generation, products have been invented and rendered obsolete. Now we are at a point where a company can introduce a new piece of technology and have less than a few months before being outdone by a competitor and sometimes even the originating company itself. We struggle to keep up, to make the potential of new technology work in our favor. We are bombarded by new releases, new features, faster speeds, better security, enhanced interface, etc., etc. Marketing is now geared towards making us want things we don't really need, only because technology is evolving faster than our need for it in everyday life. I mostly use my cell phone as a phone. I probably use about 5% of what my smartphone can do. My nieces use it for maybe 10%, and of that, most of it is texting and pictures. Information technology can indeed benefit your business, but it sometimes seems that we focus most of our attention towards the technology part and forget that it's only a means to provide what really matters, the information part. You don't make money off the latest iPad or tablet, you make money off the information they provide. So this is it, what we're going to be talking about today, what we are in a way going to rediscover, knowledge. Because the IT revolution was never about how fast or how small or how flexible the technology was. It was about how much information it could provide, how many different sources of information were available, and how anyone, anywhere, could benefit. Given the variety of options available for one particular product or another, advertising is now deeply woven into our everyday lives. And as much as these companies may appeal to you for what their products could do, let us not forget that their intent is more geared towards their own bottom line than yours. We become so smitten with their pitch, we focus on what we could do, sometimes at the expense of what we can do. I realized that over a period of 15 years as a management consultant. I used to provide my customers with opinions on industry software solutions, marketing services, and help with operational issues of all kinds. Some solutions had more powerful impacts than others, but regardless, if the return was positive, my clients would know about it. As technology evolved, it occurred to me that of all the improvements I could recommend to my customers, providing their employees with timely, task-specific information would by far yield the highest return. The catalyst to this transition of mine came when I was reviewing a customer's marketing budget. It hovered around $250,000 per year. A figure which at the time and now still impresses me. But also, being privy to the CSRs that handled those expensive incoming sales opportunities, I saw the true bottleneck of our industry. The entire success of the company was dependent on this initial customer contact to conclude successfully, and in my opinion, was the most important task of the entire customer experience. In fact, most of my customers had CSRs that knew very little of the operations of the company or of the industry as a whole. They are amongst the lowest paid employees and have a fairly high turnover rate. Yet we rely on them to generate a majority, if not all, of our revenue without allocating anything else than a comfortable chair and a piece of software geared to gather information, not provide it. But the reality of the situation doesn't permit us to have the owner, who usually would have the most knowledge, experience, and vested interest in seeing this call conclude successfully, answering the phone. Nor can we afford to dedicate a technician or other company specialist to the task, since their involvement in other company areas yield a much higher return on your human resource investment. So I started focusing on finding a way to harness not only the owner's knowledge, but any information deemed relevant to the successful operation of the company to make that information available to anyone, anywhere, at any time. The more we pressed on, the more convinced I became that treating information as an asset would indeed be one of the most beneficial improvements a company in our industry, actually a company in any industry, could hope for. So let's talk about knowledge and information. And although the same premise could apply to all facets of life, we will limit our scope to the business advantages of using information as an asset. Information is the one resource that is required to make any other business resource valuable. Think about it. If you hired a new employee, a human resource, but provided them with no reliable source of information on how to do their job, I doubt they would be very effective or, at the least, close to their full potential. If you purchased a key piece of equipment acquired to expand your services and increase revenue, but lacked a know-how or knowledge on how to use it effectively, it probably won't yield the desired increase in business, at the least, not to its full potential. When you invest in a marketing campaign but lack the data required to let you know what's working and what's not, you are most likely spending too much money on some less successful venues and not enough on those that would yield even more prospective customers. Or how about knowing that a customer was dissatisfied with your service and planned to never use your company again? Would this be a situation in the first place if you were aware of the problem and already took steps to remedy it? How much does it cost you to replace that customer, including the ripple effects that an unhappy customer creates? Even worse, will this still unknown cause of the customer's dissatisfaction repeat itself in the future, costing you even more clients? We spend so much money on so many things, from employees to equipment, from office space to advertising, all for the sole purpose and hope of increasing our bottom line. Yet we do so little to provide the information necessary to take full advantage of those investments we chose to make. It's the old adage of buying an axe but forgetting to sharpen it. Yes, you will cut down a few trees, but you'll end up requiring a lot more effort to do so while yielding far inferior results. But don't feel bad, because you're not the only one with this problem, and here's why. Go back a few decades and information was something that was pretty hard to come by, in an active business sense, I mean. Prior to the internet, our access to information was limited to what we could read through books and industry magazines, those rare seminars or workshops, and whatever else we could pick up over the phone. Go back another few decades before office automation, and we were even more stunted, because regardless of how much information we did or did not have, we had no means to provide it to anyone in a timely and consistent fashion anyways. Now, many of the work habits that we use to this day stem from those periods when information was neither available or usable in a real-world environment. We pretty much answer our phones the same way, perhaps collecting information more effectively, but not really providing it. We take care of our customers the same way, having streamlined the operational part through automation, but not the actual customer experience. We still rely on our employees' know-how and judgment to determine the potential short and long-term opportunities these customers represent, as well as qualifying the customer's degree of satisfaction. All this from the hip. And then we complain that they don't do it properly. You must admit you are partially to blame unless that employee has access to all the relevant information to do their jobs, as well as a good understanding of what you expect back. And what of the after-sales portion? The vast majority of you are still not following up with customers post-service to reiterate your commitment to their satisfaction while providing a good sounding board to help fine-tune your approach. your chances of repeat business increase with the amount of information you have in regards to your customer's experience and overall satisfaction. Push it off all you want, but if you don't call your customers post-service, you are forsaking sales leads, losing an opportunity to remind your customers about your company and services, and are left virtually blind in regards to their perspective of your front end, your services, and company. However, our ability to use information as an asset in our business is something quite new. And just like the difficulty in trying to add a car to a moving train, attempting to alter your business practices during business hours can be a formidable task. But, just like going from paper and pen to computers, this is one of those innovations you simply cannot ignore. Luckily, our ability to filter and share information in a timely fashion has drastically increased through internet search engines and software applications designed to provide an online company information hub. So slowing down to business is not required for you to benefit from what will become the single most valuable asset in your company. Now, access to up-to-date and relevant information can benefit every employee in your business. From a basic standpoint, any employee should have access to a company handbook or employee manual, detailing topics such as general employment information, attendance at work, compensation and benefits, etc. This will go to provide a level of accountability for both the employer and employee, since neither can state that they were not aware of any particular protocol. It is the employee's responsibility to familiarize themselves with their company handbook. It's the employer's responsibility to make it accessible. Given the free templates available on the web, there is no longer any reason for a company to not provide a company handbook within their own company information hub. Each employee in your company has a role to play. They form part of an assembly of other employees who, as a whole, will provide for a reputable and profitable enterprise. Or at least you hope so. For this to be possible, you must take into consideration the inherent variables that form part of any successful company equation. The first variable is employee turnover. If you own a business, you're also in a human resource business. However costly it may seem to be, the hiring process is the cheap part. Since most companies provide very little and mostly generic information to new employees, the time it takes for them to get up to speed is very costly, albeit not as tangible as paying a bill, nevertheless a potentially significant loss of income. We seem to worry more about the fonts we use in our emails than the documenting of those tasks and resource centers that go to support our entire operation. All those tricks and tips that past employees created, all those procedures and protocols put to memory over time, all lost and perhaps never again to be found because we didn't consider that information, that knowledge, as an asset. Another point to consider when looking at employee turnover is that it usually takes a few tries to be conservative before we finally find someone that fits the bill. Someone that will stay long enough to go from being a liability, as any new employee is on their first day, to being an asset. Wouldn't you think that the quality of the infrastructure we provided to this new employee would have an impact on how many or how few we need to go through before finding Mr. or Mrs. Wright? And if your employee's learning curve is cut in half, so is the time required to converting them from costing you money to making you money. The second variable is what I refer to as information erosion. When you hired your first employee, they had the benefit of getting direction from you, the owner, the person who knew and cared most about the business. From that moment on, however, any new employee would see an increasingly diluted version of the quality, the intent, and the passion of those original instructions, since they would now be learned through other employees and not the owner. That is how I define information erosion, and creating a knowledge base for your company will not only eliminate its negative effects, but go even beyond the content of those original instructions. Think about it. If we had documented your directives from the get-go and then amended and added to them over time, the next new hire would not only benefit from the owner's knowledge, but also from the knowledge of every employee that held their position in the past. How much impact would that have on the time it takes to convert an employee from a liability to an asset? And how much more of your employee's potential could you harness by allowing such access to timely information? The third variable is information evolution. Think about when you first started your business, the limited procedures you had or perhaps didn't have in place, the software you used, the people you employed, the perception you had of those formidable challenges that lie ahead. That's all changed now, or at least a big part of it. And in 10 years from now, I can guarantee you that your software will look different. A few familiar faces will have vanished and new ones will have appeared, and of course, your perception of the challenges that lie ahead will be very different. Changes in how we view a situation, approach a situation, and deal with a situation are constantly evolving. Given the feedback you invariably collect over time, you will reassess your perspective on many facets of your operations and modify them accordingly. And to make these improvements successful, everyone has to be on the same page, or in some cases, on a completely new page. Part of maintaining the value of a company knowledge base is keeping the information up to date. The quality of the information available is completely dependent on that fact, since in this information age, the more we venture forward, the faster things change. However, all this planning, preparation, and goodwill will be wasted if you do not make it readily available to those who would benefit from it. And by readily, I mean in a well-sorted, easily navigated environment, providing a retrieval speed compatible with the realities of the employee requesting it. So if someone calls in with a question regarding a service or product you distribute, that CSR should have every detail available for them in seconds, providing not only a well-informed and timely answer, but a high degree of credibility to go with it. If a field employee needs access to warranty information or wants to review a procedure for a specific task, they should have access to the latest and greatest instructions and recommendations that you provided, as well as a few reminders on those post-sales procedures that are sometimes forgotten. If your sales rep wants to find out about any potential sales lead generated by field employees or customer surveys, they should be able to retrieve them quickly, from anywhere and any time. Everything I just mentioned, every bit of information you provide changes daily. Unless you plan to stop learning, you will inevitably improve your methods, and to take full advantage of those improvements, you must be able to convey these changes to everyone through a centralized information hub in a manner conducive to its successful implementation. So company directives, protocols, and procedures should be prioritized to increase your chances of profitability and decrease a lot of potential headaches in the process. However, access to information can be as specific as you need it to be as well. And the more detailed the information, the better that specific outcome will be. As an example of using information as an asset, let's see how it would impact your front end, the image and voice of your entire operations. The CSR experience. You spend an elaborate amount of money each year to make yourself visible to your target market. So does your competition. You spend even more time and money to tweak your advertisements so that they stick out from the others and encourage your customers to call. So does your competition. You may advertise in multiple venues with the hope that repeat exposure will provide for a degree of credibility in your potential customers' eyes. And once again, so does your competition. However, after all that effort, all that money, your phone finally rings. Your marketing effort has succeeded. Out of all those ads and all those options available, that prospect has chosen your company as a potential solution to their problem. Now comes the most important and difficult part, convincing that customer that you are worthy of their patronage. At this point, it's a sales job. You need to convince this prospect in a very short amount of time that your company is the right choice for them. This is what it all comes down to, your entire revenue stream, the reason why you are in business, hanging on a phone call. And who do you choose to handle this essential task? On whom does your profitability hinge on? The CSR, that's who. Usually the least paid and least informed person in your business. You resign yourselves to limiting them to be glorified schedulers and a gateway to other employees who possess the knowledge required to answer most questions. As long as they are courteous, know the basics of the biz and our company name, they're good to go, right? Wrong. Because so far you have done nothing to differentiate yourself from your competitors, which only leaves the prospect with price as a selection criteria. And we all know how weary the market is on price these days. Let's break it down to see exactly what the prospect is seeking during that initial call and how access to timely call-specific information can help. There are three qualities that a prospect is looking for: professionalism, credibility, consistency. If you can convey these qualities over the phone, you have dramatically increased your chances of closing that sale. Prospects have buttons that need to be pushed in a certain order to yield a sale. Button number one, professionalism. Your prospect's first encounter with your company will set the stage for the entire customer experience. If a CSR lacks empathy, cannot identify with the customer, or in the worst case, appears indifferent or rude, you will lose points on the professionalism scale. If a caller is put on hold so that the CSR can get answers to the most basic of questions, you will lose points here as well. If the call is unstructured or doesn't deliver an overall feeling of competence, your perceived professionalism suffers. So professionalism is key and must be conveyed by any CSR, whether they've been working with you for a day, a year, or a decade. Button number two, credibility. Your CSR has the essential task of being a reflection of the company's operations. Your credibility can be defined by how competent your CSR is, how knowledgeable they are regarding the customer's specific issue, and how confident they are about your company's ability to provide a solution. As an example, if a pricing question comes up, as they always do, and our CSR cannot properly educate the caller on why you cannot provide a price over the phone, you will lose credibility points and, considering the importance of pricing in our prospect selection criteria, you will most likely lose the job itself. Although we cannot under any circumstances provide a price over the phone, there is a correct way of explaining that fact. The answer provided should educate our customers on why we can't provide a quote over the phone while satisfying their sense of logic and fairness. Our technician charges by the job. The price depends on several things, such as the parts that are needed and how much labor is going to be involved. He will give you a flat rate price and get your approval before starting any work. If you decide not to have our technician do the work, our destination charge is only X amount of dollars. This is a perfect example of how information can make or break a sales opportunity. A percentage of your customers are influenced primarily by price, and they are weary of contractors providing an inflated price once they are on site, making it more difficult to decline the service. Saying only that the technician will determine the price on site will probably result in losing the prospect to a contractor that does, regardless of how misleading they may be. However, providing a well-thought-of explanation on why you cannot quote over the phone, but reassuring them that they will have a quote on hand before authorizing any work, you drastically increase your chances of booking that call. And this is just one of many examples of how providing your CSR with access to job-critical information can be the difference between a prospect hanging up or a customer signing on. The prospect's entire opinion will be based on the perceived credibility conveyed by your CSR. You cannot afford to let them go from the hip anymore, no matter how cordial they may be. Being friendly will have an influence, but their weariness of pricing and any other concern will prevail if not addressed properly. Button number three, consistency. Consistency in pricing, service, product information is the last essential quality required to closing a sale. If your calls are treated differently by varying employees, you are providing an inconsistent message. Inconsistency costs money, a lot of money. First and foremost, it costs jobs because the message we give our customers by relaying inconsistent information reduces, if not eliminates, the effects of the other two buttons, professionalism and credibility. It can cause problems with customers who receive erroneous information, since you must not only deal with the situation, which usually requires the assistance of someone senior, but also provide a remedy, which is usually attained by honoring the option that is the least costly to the customer, as well as the least profitable to you. And no matter how satisfied your customer may be, they will be more weary of the actual price on their next visit. And that's if they call you back at all. I remember going to a local supermarket. Being a guy, I paid very little attention to detail. If I see something that my stomach agrees would be a good investment, I kind of glance at the price and as long as it doesn't have more digits than I expected, I buy it. My wife, on the other hand, is meticulously organized and I can guarantee you she is getting the best bang for our buck. Anyway, as I empty my cart, I glance at the prices and calculate the approximate total. This way I don't have to check the price of each item on the register to make sure it's right. And it's always right, usually, since we have a law here that says that if a product is mispriced and under 10 bucks, it's free. Over 10 bucks, and you get $10 off. So errors are few and far between, and when they happen, it's usually an issue of quantity as opposed to price. But not that day. The total was about $20 more than I expected. So I questioned it while reviewing the receipt with the teller, and lo and behold, the product was charged to me for $17 more than it was worth. It was one of those rare purchases, some scarce Asian spice that my wife requested for a recipe. It was supposed to be about $5, and it came up to about $22 and some change. Of course, it was corrected immediately, it ended up being free, and the manager himself apologized for the mishap. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that they did not intend to steal $17 from me. And I have been there hundreds of times, and to my knowledge, it's never happened before. I fully understand these facts. However, the next time I went, and every time since, I tend to look at the register a bit more often. That little voice in my head tells me that if it happened once, it could happen again. And that, my friends, is what a tiny lack of consistency can create. Imagine the impact of repeated or more grievous mistakes. So to summarize, you spend a lot of money getting potential customers to call in, but provide little or no real support on how that call is handled. Access to information via a company knowledge base will permit your CSR to answer questions the way you see fit, offer detailed information on products and services specific to the customer's issues, all while providing a consistent, professional, and credible message throughout, thereby greatly increasing your chances of booking a call. All because your CSR has access to information, to an optimal approach determined and fine-tuned by you. The investment is already made, salaries, marketing, office equipment already in place. Adding the resource of information to your existing infrastructure will only serve to enhance the results of those investments while increasing your bottom line. And those are the tangible results of treating information as an asset. However, there are many other intangible advantages to providing your CSR with a company information hub. How about the time we save, let alone the credibility conveyed by getting answers to your questions by the first person you dealt with? Since we do not have to refer every out-of-the-ordinary question to someone else, we are not wasting his or her time, increasing their productivity level as well. If 4 calls a day are transferred to John, and each of those calls takes 5 minutes, John's spending 20 minutes a day answering the same questions over and over again. That's 100 minutes a week, that's 5,000 minutes or 83 hours a year. So John spends 2 weeks a year answering those few questions that could have been at the least partially taken care of by your CSR if they had access to that information. 2 weeks' salary just for those few questions. I'm sure you can all think about more examples of small snippets of time being allocated to repetitive tasks. How many more weeks' salary would those cost? Intangible, yes, but costly nevertheless. Mistakes in protocol, omissions, lost upsell opportunities, lack of accountability, of direction. All these are but a few of those intangible impacts of not using information as an asset. Now, how about your field employees? Given the cost-effectiveness of mobile technology, this company information hub should also be field accessible. So you booked the call. Congratulations. You have created a new customer. Your marketing got him to phone in, and your front end sealed the deal. So far, so good. At this point, everything is riding on your field employee's shoulders. The 3 previous buttons are still in effect throughout the customer experience. Professionalism, credibility, and consistency must also be conveyed at this stage of the game. However, in this case, you have a lot more variables to contend with. Your technician wears many hats. They are troubleshooters, solution providers, estimators, salespeople, technicians when resolving the issue, and finally, bill collectors. That is a lot of tasks to handle for every visit. By using the same method that we did providing your CSR with timely task-specific data, we can do the same for the techs. So a service call can now be scripted just like a telephone call, making sure that all the instructions required are available, all the procedures and protocols respected, and all the relevant expertise provided for. And you can also prompt the tech for the information you need back to complete the call and amass data to be used in employee assessments, rate customer satisfaction, and maximize sales opportunities. The same theory holds true for each employee in your operations. If they have tasks to do, providing them with the resources they need and the directives you favor will most likely yield the results you expect. And when the next employee comes around, they will benefit from the accumulated and centralized common knowledge of every HR investment you have made to date. Now that we have a better understanding of the benefits to using information as an asset for your employees, let's spend a few minutes to talk about what's in it for you, the business owner. What information would be an asset to you? Would seeing a customer satisfaction rating for both your CSRs and your field employees help you improve their effectiveness and performance at work? How about being able to track your employees' progress so you may celebrate their accomplishments or attempt to remedy their shortcomings? Most of you don't have targets or goals laid out for your employees, and it is indeed an aimless pursuit to send someone off without direction. Perhaps knowing how many calls any one marketing effort generated, as well as how many of those were closed successfully, would be helpful. Most of you rely on the phone for your revenues, yet you don't have real call statistics to help you evaluate, understand, and improve your approach. Whatever information you deem relevant to the good management of your company should be available to you. All you need to do is ask the right questions, and you will be given the answers that matter. And the more information you have available, the better your decisions. Period. The main reason why most companies do not view information and knowledge for the value it delivers is because they have no means of providing it effectively in a real-world environment. Some of you have basic call scripting, whether on paper or through a word processor. Some of you do customer surveys, also usually completed on paper, and therefore not much of value once they're filed away. You may track your marketing using various phone numbers or by using a tracking service, but you probably don't know how many of those calls actually made you money. But that's pretty much all anyone could do, so it's no wonder that you may have failed to recognize, until now, the value of using information as an asset, since you never had the means to mine and process that limitless resource. Apart from large corporations using very expensive information management system, no one was able to easily provide this type of support infrastructure to their employees in a cost-effective manner. But I remember the first time I saw a FedEx employee with a tablet. It was impressive, and only those big companies could afford it. But now, everyone has them. I remember how expensive it was to track fleet vehicles through GPS, a service only bigger companies could afford. But now, it's built in my phone. And I recall not so long ago that it was only those larger corporations that could truly use information to their advantage, harvest it to benefit each individual in their company. But I'm happy to report that that's no longer the case either. We are fortunate to have witnessed an array of milestones in our lifetime. The introduction of the microchip, the incorporation of automation in all facets of our lives, the World Wide Web, and now the ability to access knowledge like never before, and the foresight to put it into practice. There are cost-effective web-based solutions that will enable you to provide your employees with this level of direction while rewarding yourself with a perspective of your business you never thought possible. We spend so much time and money trying to tweak our business in an effort to yield a little more profit here, a few less expenses there. Then comes the innovation of using information as an asset, and for those of you who choose to take advantage of it, you will see results that will be far more substantial than any other effort to improve your operations. And for those of you who don't, I sure hope your competition is not listening.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-432-7963. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.